was in the bullet, Lord judgment. My arms went down to the ditch when I fall. I didn't recognize you for things anymore. I don't wanna be defeated. I don't wanna be defeated. I don't wanna be defeated. I don't wanna be defeated.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Lead Singer Syndrome. I am your host, once again, as always, Shane Told. I come to you live from beautiful Chicago, Illinois. It's funny how the memories come back now, not just of all the times I've played shows here, but I remember a podcast that I recorded here actually once with Stephen Page. Go back and listen to that one. What an episode that was. Bare Naked Ladies frontman and just an awesome dude. That was a bit different for me for this show. And today, we have something maybe even a little more different from the huge. I speak with the one and only Tiffany. Yes, that Tiffany, known probably most for her hit, I Think We're Alone Now, in 1987. She was one of the original 80s teen idols, doing mall tours, on the covers of all the magazines, selling millions and millions and millions of albums. And she's had an incredible career. And I got to go hang out with her, drink a little wine on her tour bus, and watch her perform alongside the New Kids on the Block, Naughty by Nature, Salt and Peppa, and even former teen rival Debbie Gibson. What a show, what a tour, and what an episode. Thank you so much for joining me once again. Before we get into that, like I say every week, you can get in touch with me. I get all the emails. I read them all. I write back to as many as I can. I get a lot of emails. So feel free, jump on, let me know what you think of the show. If you got suggestions for upcoming guests, anything really you want to say, feel free. LeadSingerSyndrome@gmail.com is the email address. Be sure to hit me up on the social media at Shane Told, at LeadSingerSyn, at LeadSingerSyndrome on Instagram. Don't forget about our Facebook page. We got lots of things going on there. And if you want to help with the show, check out the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club. Basically, for as little as $6 a month, you get access to a whole bunch of bonus content, bonus episodes. I interview non-lead singers. We have an amazing community of other fans of the show, interaction with them, interaction with me. We do meetups all over the world, like today at 4 o'clock in Chicago. We're hanging out. It's going to be a good time. So yeah, all I ask is that you check it out. The link, leadsingersyndrome.com/all access, because that's what keeps this thing going every single week. So check it out, and thank you to all my sinners worldwide. Another reminder, I'm on tour all summer with my band Silverstein. We're supporting August Burns Red for their 10-year anniversary tour of their album Constellations, and I'm having a blast. Just about 2 weeks in, we got a lot more of this tour left. We're playing pretty much all over the U.S. and Canada. So go get a ticket. And if you see me at the show, feel free to say hi. Say, I love your podcast, man. I love hearing that. And I just like to talk to people. So check it out. AugustBurnsRed.com. Hey, probably find tickets there. Or just, you know, Google it. It seems to work pretty well. All right, well, it's time. Let's get into it. And my conversation with Tiffany.
Could have been so beautiful. Could have been so right. Could have been my lover. Every day of my life. Could have been so beautiful. Could have been so right.
Check. That's cool. Well, yeah, this is super, you know, chill for the most part. And,
totally.
You know,
yeah.
And I love that we're just starting off chatting.
Yes. I'm a talker, in case you haven't
noticed. I love that. Because whenever I do, you know, because I interview a lot of people I know. and we don't know each other.
So it's easy. No, we don't know each other.
And when I don't know somebody, especially over the phone, it can be very difficult.
I totally cheated. Sorry.
You what?
I Googled you.
Oh, good. Well, that's good. So you kind of know what this is then.
I do know, yes.
Nice. If I could ask you just to talk a little bit more into the microphone.
Sure.
You got to get that real good audio.
Better.
I think it's going to be great. So, oh, you're number two. I'm number one. There we go. So I'm here with Tiffany, and this is really cool.
Well, thank you.
You're in my country of Canada.
Yes.
And you came from Detroit, which is interesting because I actually live in a city called Windsor, which is right across the river.
Oh, easy.
So
then.
I live 10 minutes from downtown Detroit.
Oh, so you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I guess kind of.
Yeah.
Is it
easy to go back and forth if you want to?
Yeah, it's super easy. They're really chill.
Very cool. Very cool. So. Well, I came across on a bus.
Yes.
And of course, they're not super chill.
Well, you never know. It depends who you get, you know?
Well, I had a gentleman who's a fan.
Oh, cool.
So he actually had my old school album to sign.
Really?
But I mean, yeah, and we still had to get off the bus and go to, you know.
He had it, like, with him?
He had it. His girlfriend brought it all the way. Yes, yeah,
how did they know you were
coming? You're coming through. They do. And we're in a big caravan. So
that's
there's me,
creepy,
Naughty by Nature, Debbie Gibson, New Kids
on
the Block.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're all coming through Salt and Pepper. So, you know, they all know that we're coming through.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, you know, we're all kind of like, I mean, I Googled everything. You're only allowed 10 cans of beer.
Oh, yeah.
And like a certain amount of alcohol. I was like, well, that's going to be a problem.
Well, no, because you got a bus with 12 people or whatever. You know, even the driver counts, so you can kind of add it up.
So they don't care. On my bus, I have to say, and there are people coming and going. Just if you hear ruffling in the background,
it's all good. Yes.
This is Nietzsche. She's actually delivering me some red wine today.
Very good.
So for our interview and pre-show game face a little bit.
Get it on.
Yeah, no, I've been running just as fast as I can, literally.
I see what you did
came
there.
Came from two interviews already this morning.
Cool.
And so, yeah, but I had asked that, you know, literally we dumped everything.
Oh, you didn't have to do that.
We dumped everything.
No, I didn't
know what was happening. So
no.
I want to play by the rules a little bit. But we were like, we have no alcohol at all on the bus.
No.
What is wrong with us?
No.
I'm not a huge drinker, but it's like, it's one of those things where people take, when it's off the table, you want it more.
Oh, sure.
I'm like, I don't even care if I want a glass of wine today, but I just want it on the bus. So,
yes.
Yeah. So there's that. But I actually had a lovely lunch around the corner today. So I did get out, and I make a point everywhere I go to try to get out and walk a little bit. Take it in a little bit. So, and Canada is one of my favorite places. I have a lot of friends here, which I didn't get a hold of. So I'm probably going to be in trouble. But, you know, it's just, I don't have so much time, you know.
Yeah.
I have the show and this and that and da da. Uh-huh. So it's like, it's overpowering if you reach out to too many friends. You just frustrate people more than make them happy.
I know what you mean.
You can't go to their
home.
You can't go out to dinner. You can't, like, it's like, you want to come and look at me on the bus while I'm getting ready. That's not so exciting.
I know. Like, I know it can be tough, but
yeah,
it's just, yeah. And especially like every day, like some days when you're on tour and you have, I mean, this is an extensive tour. This is not.
Oh yeah, this is.
This is not
tour.
Just a couple weeks. This is.
No, this is a big deal.
A big deal.
I came off of a tour before this, so I've been touring literally almost 2 years.
And
before
that's the
this.
Thing. It's like some days you just need a day.
You just need a day.
A day, you know?
But you find that on tour, your days are, I'm going to stay in bed. Mm-hmm. I'm going to watch Netflix or on, you know, whatever on demand.
Yes.
And I'm going to go and do all the things that the girls out there listening, you know. You know, when you think you're going to do facials or massage or nails or even your hair, that's like a luxury thing. No, this is part of my job now. It sounds ridiculous, but I'm like, I'm so about, like, I've got to go clean up and I've got to do this. And so they become appointments, and it just becomes more crazy town, you know, of to-dos on the list. So I'm already planning a vacation right now. I love being out here. It's amazing. It's not that strenuous, but it is every day. Every day. You don't really have your own time. You have your stuff you have to be there for. So I am looking forward to sitting on a beach somewhere and turning my cell phone off.
Perfect.
Just for a minute before I go to the UK. And I say a minute, I really do mean like 15, 20 minutes. Because we have, from this mixtape tour, we go to the UK for a month.
Yeah,
I do all the festivals there, all the stuff to work the new album Pieces of Me. Then I come back and I literally 2 days later after I land here start 3 months of a UK tour for myself, Pieces of Me.
I feel like that's kind of good and kind of exciting, though, because it's you've been really doing this a long time.
I can't complain.
And you haven't you've been making music the whole time, but you haven't been go like this the whole time.
I have been feeling a bit of a resurgence. For 2 years, behind the scenes.
Sure.
I have been pounding the pavement and stuff. Even before I got to the mixtape tour, I kind of felt like I needed a nap and I should have taken a nap, but I really didn't. You know, I went to and did a bunch of promotion. It's all about the new music for me.
Yeah.
Getting the message out there, living the new music. I have a full band. People don't probably even know what I can do, which is awesome. So that's why we're working really hard. So even on this tour with the mixtape, I'm getting up in the morning doing promotion, radio, everything, doing all that stuff. And I'm, you know, more than anything, I'm very excited that people are really open to it.
It's great.
They're like, you know, getting the singles and they're like, Tiffany, what? That Tiffany?
Right.
What's happening here? But, you know, I get all the reports on my email about the new album and the good, the bad, the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very much in the know. And it's great to hear them say really good stuff, actually.
It is such a different world now, though, right? I mean, just from a couple years ago, let alone since, you know, 1987, it is crazy. And what I love about this tour you're doing, and you're playing... You know, you're playing the Air Canada Centre, or what do they call it now? Scotiabank Arena. They just changed the name last year.
Yes, they did just change the name.
So, you know, this is the home of the Raptors, NBA champs.
Yes.
I hope Joey McIntyre's not going to wear that Bruins jersey on stage.
I don't know what's going to happen.
He can't do it. They eliminated the Leafs.
We were supposed to. We've been locked out of the Raptors' dressing rooms.
Because of all the stuff.
Well, because they're the bomb right now. That's congratulations, guys.
Right.
You know? So, I mean... You know, I think they like locked off that floor.
Right.
So as just a person coming to have a show here, it's like, well, that floor is not. It's not
right.
Available
I totally get
to
it.
You.
I totally get
and
it.
And I totally get it. But a lot of people were like, oh, that was the floor that was easiest for catering and this and that. And so it's kind of reworked our world a little bit in the venue. But when you win and when you're on the top of your game, you can pick and choose what you want.
No,
right?
I saw you and Joey
you
on stage
for it
together.
Really, really hard. So you know, I congratulations.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I see Joey on your Instagram. I see Joey McIntyre and you wearing the Bruins jersey, and I'm
not
like,
going to be happy. I'm sure.
But you know, hey. but my point of my question, I guess, is that you know this is not a little club tour. We're talking about arenas.
Yeah.
We're talking about, you know, serious venues. And what's cool about it is the New Kids on the Block opened for you.
I know.
When was it? In 1990?
Great.
And now all
the 80s.
These...
In the 80s.
Oh, late 80s.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's come back full circle. And you're still here and everyone's happy and healthy. It must
and
just be such
doing.
A trip, you
I
know?
I mean, that's the biggest thing is that... You know, celebrating 30 years, but loving still what we're doing. I mean, it is real. It's genuine.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here and I'm like, you know, I wish I had a vacation day and I wish I could go get my nails done. Only because I want to present the best to my fans and be in every meet and greet and every picture shiny and all that. Because it matters. And we are really celebrating 30 years of the fans, you know, mostly. These people have been with us from beginning to end.
Do you have any people showing you photos of when you met them?
All the time.
That must be such a trip.
That's why I want my hair and makeup and my nails. Because back then it was not good, I will tell you. I'm always like, oh, and I do. I sign over my bad hair or, you know, what? If I'm all goofy and what I wore or something, I make it... You know, point to like sign over the middle of the photograph just because I'm like, oh, what was I thinking
well,
that
I'm
day?
I'm sure those people have the same reaction to their own photo,
oh,
too.
Oh, no, we laugh about it all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the funny thing. They're like, look at us. And here's the amazing thing, though. I have to say, most people that are like, well, all people, to be honest with you, they're all showing me photographs of back then and now, and we look better now.
Yeah.
We do. We look like we own ourselves much more. Mm-hmm. We're, you know, comfortable in our own skin.
Absolutely, yeah.
Having the time of our life. Happy to be here. Happy to be reminiscing about old school. Representing old school, which I love. There's like this, I don't know, this charge in everybody that I can't really explain. But it's amazing to see it.
Totally. Oh, drop my mic. I totally love that. And you know, another person on the tour, Debbie Gibson, you know, she's here, and you're doing all these things together, and over the years you have, but back in the day, the media made it seem like you were rivals. And I love that it's come now that you are actually, you know, good friends, if not, you know, seemingly best friends in terms of entertainment.
We are very good friends. I mean, yeah. You know, Deb gets me, I get her. We're totally different. I think that's the cool thing about it, you know. But we're completely different. I'm more of a renegade, kind of like off the cuff, fly by the seat of my pants, kind of hippy dippy chick, you know. And she is much more, she's learning to be a little bit more free-flowing.
Okay.
But, I mean, you know, she's maybe come from a different past where it's Broadway.
Exactly.
A lot of, like, you know, you have to be very disciplined. It's the same thing every day, and that is a total different task.
Well, it's really
that I know, you know?
Like, it was the first West Coast, East Coast rivalry, you know?
It was.
like the rap battles.
And I think we're representing
New York and you're California.
Perfectly.
Yeah.
I love New York, you know, when I go there. Like, even I went there when I was 18 and I started doing the new Inside album. And at first, I really struggled. Everybody was so forthcoming, very honest, brutally honest, make it happen kind of people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
L.A. is not that. L.A. really is a jive-talking kind of town that you'll talk to somebody for 2 hours and then realize halfway through none of this is ever going to happen.
Yes.
Or it will happen in front of you as they step away to talk to somebody else. Like, you just see them drop you like it's hot. Then that's just very L.A. Promises that are never going to happen. Beautiful people, you know, a lot of perping going on. You know, and it's just, it's a networking kind of town.
Mm-hmm.
It really is show what you got and all that kind of stuff and schmooze people. Where New York is really a little bit more talent. It's still networking, but it's a lot of just pounding the pavement.
Yeah.
And being honest and being who you are and finding who you are. So I guided towards that way more when I was 18, even though I struggled through the tears and the awkwardness and everything. Once I got it, I was like, this is a gem.
Right.
I just rather be told yes, no, what you want from me. This can happen or not. I don't need that. I don't need the crap in the music industry, although it's all crap.
But that's got to have to do with the way that it started for you at such a young age.
I'd love
to go back and talk about that because, you know, you were what, 14 when you got discovered? Maybe not even.
No, I was singing professionally already when I was 8 and opening up.
Right.
By the time I was 9 and 10, I was opening up for Mickey Gilley, Johnny Lee, Hoyt Axton, on country music.
Right.
And that's what was played in my household, and that's kind of what we followed. Little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis, all these people I opened up for just as a little 10-year-old girl.
Yeah.
So I had quite the experience.
Exactly.
And, I knew what it was to be a musician already, I was kind of spoiled in the sense of I saw them have their families, their careers, the dogs on the road, the bus, the kids, everybody just rolled out of the bus and you could have it all. Well, really at that time, especially for pop music, as I started in pop music, that was not obtainable. That was like a no. So I was already coming with, you know, ideas of grandeur, like I can have a family and I can have this and I can have it all. And then I got stuck in the pop world and it was like, no, you have to look a certain way.
Okay.
You have to do this. And so it's been quite an education to get to where I'm at now, and to have the luxury that I have now with all the people on the road with me to be able to, I was just discussing this earlier in one of my interviews, to be able to have the personal life that I've had, which I think, again, Deb and I, going back to that, we've nurtured that personal life, and that's why we're still standing 30 years later, and we're very confident in who we are.
Yes.
We love our music, and it's because we've been able to live both lives and grow as artists and not be, you know...
Totally.
We didn't allow ourselves to be put in a box, but even though the industry may have done that.
They did. And my... Just to get back to kind of what I wanted to ask you, you know, and how you prefer this New York style... tell me to my face what you think of me.
Much better.
Part of that is because I think you're so young that everyone's trying to shelter you, right? Your manager's trying to shelter you there, or your parents are trying to shelter you, or, I mean, you divorced your parents. you know, it was really crazy.
I didn't divorce my parents. Well, I tried to, like...
You tried.
Well, I didn't, you know, that's the whole thing is that, you know, I think that was the biggest thing that I learned about being a celebrity is coming from a family that is, you know, a little dysfunctional, mm-hmm. didn't know how to communicate. And then all of a sudden you have, you know, the rise to fame. You have all this paparazzi outside. Yeah. And we don't know how to even communicate. So for me... I was on the road. I had the label. I had a manager. I had fans now. I have expectation, things that I have to do every day, mall tour, all of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then I go home to complete chaos. So for me, I just was saying, can I just go to some place that actually be safe, quiet, which was my grandmother's house.
Yeah.
So, of course, I wanted to go and live with my grandmother. But my mom, and some people will understand this, you know, when you have an addictive personality, my mom was an alcoholic, she guided to me. I was the eldest. Yeah. She depended on me.
Yeah.
I was kind of her counselor, her fall guy, all of it, you know. And she just didn't want to let me go. It was just right. that simple. She didn't really want to, you know, she didn't trust my stepfather getting back in a marriage with them because they were separated before I got my record deal. She didn't know about her own addiction and where she was and all of that. So it was very easy to keep me. And, you know, at the time I was just a kid. So all I'm wanting to do is be where it's safe and sound and where I know I can be functional. Really, more than anything. So, you know, I was fighting for that. And somebody had mentioned to me emancipation.
Yeah.
That you could go and live with your grandmother. And if you petition.
Right.
It seems so easy. And the next thing I know, I'm in this big battle with my mom and my dad. Yeah. And all kinds of stuff. And all this ugly is coming out of nowhere from my family. Part true, part not.
Yes.
You know, and that's where I probably learned right off the bat. Wow, I'm a public figure. Wow, people are going to say a lot of stuff and add to the story, even though they don't know, just because it seems like they can get 10 minutes of fame. And how hurtful also this can be in the public eye, where, you know, you never want all your stuff, your dirty laundry out there. That was never my intention to hurt my parents or anything, or to be perceived as a girl who gotten too big for their britches and just didn't want her parents. It was way deeper than that.
Yeah.
But you know, again, I never have really spoke about it because, you know, again, that would be telling more things about my parents. And I thought that at that time, that wasn't the right thing to do. So I kind of kept quiet all these years. But
yeah.
That's the long and short of it. It was just really me wanting to go and spend time with my grandmother where I felt nurtured and I could carry on the things that were expected of me from laborers and managers. Because, you know, even at 14, I had people in my life who were like, too bad. This is business. We don't care that you're 14. We're not going to coddle to you. You know, my manager was from New York. So there was no coddling for Tiffany at all. I've actually had a very straightforward do or die career. And, you know, and that's been painful at times, you know, because I was just a kid trying to work it out. But I think I learned the industry. I learned the respect of the industry and learned, you know, that it's your career and you got to be, you know, there present as much as possible. And you persevere through the hardship no matter what.
Well, it sounds like you were pretty mature
through
all this.
Trying to be. I'm growing up as we speak.
Right. I know. Right. That's the thing though. It's funny. And I mean, I guess I do want to ask you, I don't know if you feel like this or not, but do you feel like you missed out on, you know,
you
feel like what you gained and what you experienced made up for all?
Yeah, this has been my life. This is what I wanted to do since I was a little girl.
Because you always see it.
I never think if I missed out on something.
Oh, good. Because, you know, it's such a cliche thing to happen in a movie where someone wishes they were, I wish I was famous. And then there's like one of those, you know, oh, well, this would have happened. And then you're like, I just wish I was a normal high school kid again. You know, and like that seems like something that is more in the movies than
absolutely
reality.
Not.
But
I don't
want to
be
that.
A normal high school. I don't think I was ever a normal high school girl. Anyway, I mean, singing has been in my blood since I was a little girl.
Yeah.
I mean, I drove my family crazy, literally. They were constantly shoving cookies or ice cream or something to try to make me shut up because I was singing all the time. I mean, even here, I'd be performing in front of us. My mom couldn't have a conversation with her girlfriends.
Right.
We couldn't go to the store. I mean, even the car, I would be leaning out the back seat and turning towards, you know, the back window and performing for all the people on the freeway.
Yeah.
That's just what I did. I love music. I still love music. I still am that weirdo, really.
It's great, though.
You will find me at the back of my bus performing and singing to Stevie Nicks and who knows what else.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, it was so funny because my bodyguard, he's left now to go back home for just a minute, but he'll come back. He's one of my dearest friends. His name is Armando. And he's trained me. He's a trainer. And he's trained me for Playboy and all these other things.
Yeah.
So he does security for me. But it was so funny because we were out here and we were listening to Ann Wilson do the tribute to Led Zeppelin. You know, and so he had it up and it was like early in the morning a couple days ago. And, you know, I love Ann Wilson's voice. She's an amazing singer. Her range is amazing. I get the best compliments when they say, "You remind me of..."
Yeah.
And I smile like, wow, that's like the best thing to say to me. So she was hitting these notes, you know, and I don't know, I was making coffee or something. It literally was like 10 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's still trying to wake up. And all of a sudden I hit one of those notes and I just wanted to see if I could do it.
Right.
And Armando looked at me. He goes, "Oh my. Oh." And I go, "I'm so sorry that I scared you." He goes, "Well, that came out of nowhere." I go, "Well, I know, but it's always in your brain.
Yes.
The music's always bubbling in your skin. You know, it's always, I'm always thinking about music and thinking about how to rise to the next occasion or listening to somebody like Ann Wilson going, could I hit that note? She's amazing. You know, I'm always aspiring to be better. And it was so funny, his reaction the other day. I was like, "I'm so sorry." But, you know, I mean, it just comes out of you out of nowhere. The same thing with writing songs. I could be doing something in the middle of a conversation with you, go, "Hold on, I'm so sorry."
Sure.
Hold on, something's coming through. It's like a weirdo that, you know, is like channeling something. But, I mean, it's great to be living in the music so much. I don't think I got that in the 80s. You know, I was touring. I was around musicians. But I had... you know, a different life then. Now it's, I'm really am a musician. I'm constantly absorbing, constantly learning, constantly meeting other people that I could work with, or just, it's cool to know them. It's cool to talk the talk with them and be a part of their vibe.
Totally.
And to be valid. That's amazing to me.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, the biggest change that happened between, you know, when you started to when, you know, like, you know, let's say the 10-year period there, it was like, oh, well, there were cassettes, and now there's CDs. And it's like, now you think of the 10-year period, it's like, there's new shit all the time happening. If you want to be, you know, not even successful, but if you just want to exist, you need to constantly be looking around, seeing what other people
there's
are doing,
so
asking questions,
yeah,
figuring it out, you know.
There's, I've learned so much with being independent, running my own management company, you know, company now, having my own label, Go On Then Records. Of course, I have a team of people, but... you know, it's amazing now how to work those records. The new album, Pieces of Me.
Yep.
I mean, that is all about, it's great to talk about music, but it's better to play it. It's better to like represent. So I'm a big advocate of, yeah, it's really great to like show up to radio and talk about music. Can we do an acoustic thing? Can I sing?
Oh, cool.
Can I sing?
A lot of artists don't want to do that.
Oh, no, I'd rather sing to you than talk to you. Yeah, I mean, because that's what I do. I'm a live artist. That's what has always worked for me.
Wonderful.
So I'm singing all the time, even on the mixtape tour. I have meet and greets here on the bus. We do Pieces of Me. We do the new material. They get an acoustic set.
Oh, you do it right here?
We do it right here. Yeah.
Cool.
I throw out some cocktails and I always have, it's the funniest thing because I do a meat and cheese platter wherever I go.
Right.
Usually that's just my jam. I always do that for the band when we have Airbnbs and I cook a lot for my band and I try to have like a lot of down home vibe. So I always put the, you know, the meat and the cheese out and cocktails or whatever, but we call it Pieces of Meat. So we're really running with this title, but and everybody gets a kick out of it, you know. But I mean, it's amazing that they get to see, you know, the performer that I am. I mean, that's having this new material and writing on this album and then continuing to write here on the bus because we have a little mini studio in the back.
Oh, nice, nice.
And, you know, I have the right people around me still. Yeah. You know, my band is here. My producer is here. Why not continue to grow and write music? And I think that's what people don't really know about me is what a musician I am. I'm constantly, you know, I love the hair and makeup part of it. It's much needed. But I really love the studio stuff. I love the writing songs. I love jamming with the band, all of that kind of stuff.
It's also awesome these days that you can do that and you can just have a studio in literally in the
it's amazing.
Back of the bus. That never wouldn't happen in, you know, 87.
Well, I mean, there was always things, but you have to take it to a massive studio.
Yeah.
I mean, here we're still, we're going to Rockfields in Wales where Bohemian Rhapsody was recorded, where I recorded part of Pieces of Me, the new album. And there's so magical. I highly encourage you to go there and take a trip with your band and go and record there because it's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's out in the pastures, but to just lean against, you know, against the piano that Freddie Mercury wrote Bohemian Rhapsody is not a bad start to your day. I'm just saying. So if the walls could talk in there and you can feel it, and that's my favorite place to record. So we're going back this summer.
You know, it's true. And you know, there's a lot lost in recording these days, and I think it was one of the Drake songs. There was an interview the producer did where he literally recorded it in a bathroom of a Holiday Inn Express.
It's crazy, isn't it?
You know, because somebody was in the main room, and he recorded this thing in a bathroom, and it became, you know, like a number one song.
Well, it works. I mean, we can write and put our demos together here. I would probably not do my vocals here, but I mean,
but you
everything,
could, you know, you that's
could.
That's the
you
crazy
really could
part.
If you wanted to,
it's like, but I feel like there is a little bit of magic lost. Like, I think it was, I was just visiting my parents, and they were watching. You know, my parents, you know, they're getting older, and they sit in front of the TV and they watch all these shows. I'm getting a little off track, but like every time they know so much more about cool TV shows than I do.
Yes.
So I'll be like, and I'll always try to beat them out. I'll be like, oh, I heard about this show. It's on HBO. It's called, it just came out. It's called Barry. And they're like, oh, yeah, we watched, first season was great.
Done.
Second season's a little slow. Yeah, like, but they were watching this documentary and it was about Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah.
And how they recorded that song, The Boxer.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
The lie. And then there's that sound that's like, and they had to move like an entire, you know, studio with reel-to-reel machines and a console into this church to hit this thing with this thing to make this sound. And of course, now I'm sure any little tiny, you know, producer that can make a record in a bathroom would just be like, oh, that sound, sure. And they could beat it.
Here
you
we
know.
Go. This button right here.
Right. So anytime, you know, there's something that can be inspiring, like Freddie Mercury's piano, or anything at all that you can grab onto that's like, okay, a real moment,
I think
is special, and I think
it's
important.
It's just a vibe, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, all of those are different stories, but like that vibe of you could feel, when I go to Rockfields, I can feel the hardship. I can feel what's next. I can feel the energy of the excitement of we know we've got it in the bag. I can feel all of these things, you know, and you just can't really put your finger on it. and I'm addicted now to that process, especially now staying and having a residency like for a week there where no one does anything else but music. Is there something to be able to roll over and create music, create until 4 a.m, you know, to go, that wasn't right yesterday. Let's go back and redo it. And there's no pressure. And everybody is present. Nobody's thinking about watering their lawn or, you know, running to the bank or anything like this in real life. Because that's what we do. Even in the studio in Nashville, I've got people go, got to be out by 4:30. Got to be out by 6. Got to do, you know, and that's cool. But I can't tell you that the music process and the creative process is going to stop by 10 to 6. I don't know about that.
I know.
We went another 45 minutes, tapped into something amazing.
Sure.
And I don't like those restraints now.
Nope.
You know, I have to say my producer, Mark Alberici, really is the one who kind of put me into this mindset. And once I tried it, that's it. I'm forever like, this is it now.
Totally.
So I'm very annoyed when we're doing sessions and people go, I gotta go. I'm like, yeah, not really gonna happen. So sorry, we're lifers here.
I know, it can be bad. So I we're already at 30 minutes. I want to talk about, I think we're alone now, and I want to talk about it because you've recorded it several times.
I have.
And I want to know if for you that is, oh yeah, open it up.
I'm going to open up
a bottle
of wine.
Go ahead.
Is that okay?
Of course.
Do you want
it
a glass of wine?
I'll have a little bit, sure.
So here's the tacky thing about it, because we're on a bus.
This is a Pinot Noir from...
I have to serve it to you in a plastic glass.
Oh, I'm not
because,
picky.
Or cup, I should say, not plastic glass.
Do you want me to get that? I'll get that while you talk.
Okay, awesome. I have to serve it to you in a plastic because, you know, should it go rolling all over the world, it would be bad on a bus to have glass. So we don't get real stuff. I do snag real utensils from catering, I just have to say, because I just can't cut with plastic all the time. But yeah, there's no like, you know, glass or any kind of real stuff on the bus.
That's all good.
Well, it's all good, but it's like I'm always like, yes, nice bottle of wine, cheap plastic Dixie cups. Just saying. But
we're keeping
much
it real.
Much necessary. Eddie, my bus driver, who's awesome, he keeps a tidy little home and he takes care of us and gets us everywhere very safely. So I'm very happy with that. But you know, yeah, he smacked it down as soon as he was like, no glass, no this, no that. I was like, all right, we're gonna have a really good time up in here. But yeah, we've been rolling around and talking about I think we're alone now. We just celebrated 1 million views in a month.
Wow.
On the new video. So I'm very thrilled with that. It was awesome to go back. Cheers. It was awesome
was
to go.
Up.
Yeah, I mean, it
it's
was
a beautiful
really,
sound.
It was really cool.
No
to,
time
like,
to let it breathe. Let's
cheers,
just go.
Guys. Exactly.
Yes, cheers.
Thank you, everybody who's listening, for help, you know, pushing over. I think we're alone now. Hopefully you were part of it. If not, go check it out.
Well,
it's awesome to have like the new recording, little more rock, of course,
it
a little
is.
More
sassy. And I know that you have always been
cheers,
kind
babe.
Of a rock girl.
Yes.
And that you were kind of like, I don't want to say not allowed, but the direction.
I was not allowed.
Okay,
yes,
you weren't allowed. Not allowed to do it. And you did a 2007 version too, didn't you?
Well, I did a 2007 version, but that was more dance.
Yeah,
actually.
Exactly. So this,
over the
I
years,
feel
of
like
course,
this...
dance DJs have reached out to me a million times over, which I'm grateful.
Yeah.
But to really be embracing the rock stuff is what I've always envisioned for myself for a long time. So this is really a celebration
line.
For me. And, you know, and somebody who took it serious, my producer, took it serious and really didn't water it down. I've done a lot of records in between then and now, and they won't see the light of day because everybody promised me, you know, it's going to be what I thought, and I got in mm-hmm. there, and then they just watered it down. Mark didn't do that, so now I'm very excited to have Pieces of Me and the new recording of I Think We're
What I
now.
Think is cool is that you can, your voice has, obviously, it's been a long time. Your voice has gotten better, but your voice hasn't changed that much. You still sound like
not
Tiffany.
Not really, yeah.
You know, isn't that cool?
Because
there's a little, like that's, I mean, not to say that's scary, but I'm a singer myself, too, and if I woke up tomorrow and didn't sound like me,
right?
That's not good.
Oh, that's
right?
not going to work, yeah.
No, that's
I
not going to work.
I'm a vocalist flat out and a live artist completely, so I have nothing to bring if I'm not in full voice.
Yeah.
I mean, I can chit-chat and I, you know, have a wicked sense of humor and can hang out and sign autographs, but people come to see me sing, and that's... for me, the best thing, because that's what I've strived to be. That's what my message has been all these years, is I really am a singer with a range that people don't know, with a heart that people don't know, and, you know, and with a vision that people don't know about myself, you know, more of the rock side. So now to get to live it, you know, I mean, it's great. I mean, it's easy for me to sing live, which is a knock on wood. I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
And the more that I have a live band around me, the more I rise to those occasions, and that's the easy work. The harder work is the message.
Okay.
More than anything.
Yeah.
Getting people to get there and get their brains wrapped around it, you know. But once they get there and they see me in my band, they're like, oh my gosh, this is so idiot proof. Like, why haven't you been doing this all along? I'm like, well, here's the deal, I've been trying. But I do believe that things have their time. They just have their timing. You know, as much as I wanted it before, and Color of Silence from 2000, a critically acclaimed album from Billboard, Rolling Stone, all these wonderful things fell out of the sky. It still wasn't really probably the timing. It was just that first turn. And then I had to wait and wait and wait. And it's been frustrating over the years to like go, oh, you know, or to even do things and then you fail or invest in people and they don't really bring it, you know, and all these different things behind the scenes that I've been going through for 10 years or more. It really is exciting now to like have pieces of me as my foundation. I'm not going backwards. I'm going to keep going and pushing the envelope. The new album, even as we're writing now, is even maybe a step a little further.
Okay.
Which is really cool. So, you know, I mean, we've kind of heard the response to Pieces of Me and what, you know, the industry wants and what the people want. And I have to weigh that with what I want. Because that's the most important, you know. You only live once. I should be doing the music I love.
There you go.
That's it. It's just that simple, guys. I mean, I just had my best friend die yesterday. So I can tell you right now, more and more, that is going through my brain, is you got to be living the life you want. And whether that's successful in the masses or successful with a few hundred people or a thousand people or just I'm singing on the bus by myself, I don't care. You have to know that what you're doing is fulfilling your heart. And that's all I'm really seeking right now, is stuff that I know that is showing my talent and fulfilling me. So it really is that genuine and real. And whenever I get compliments or, you know, a good review or anything, I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of nerdy. Yeah. Right now. I'm very giddy. Yeah. Well, right now, which is awesome.
You're taking care in your craft and I think it's showing. And that's, you know, that's a really great thing. I mean, you've done, I don't want to call it gimmicky stuff, but you did some gimmicky stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like the I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. You know,
Actually, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. As cheesy as it sounds,
yes.
I actually did that because it was a challenge to get on a plane, go so far.
Oh, right.
Also, I've never been around people that I don't know. So that was really, you can't have a manager, you can't have an assistant, you can't have anybody. You walk in cold turkey, literally, with a bunch of strangers. Right. And I thought that that would be a good experience for me as a person. Because I'm getting divorced now. I'm starting the next wave of my life. New music, a lot of challenges, a lot of feeling confident in your own skin. You got to own it.
Yeah.
And you got to be happy with who you are. So in a weird way, when that show came, even though it's a TV show and goofy, it was going to challenge me so much that I thought, okay, if I can go to another country where I have literally no one, and I'm going to be asked to do some crazy shit, frankly, you know, jump off bridges and do things that are way out of my comfort zone. I will have this when I come back in a weird way.
Yeah.
And I did that. Every night I looked at the stars. There was a lot of time, downtime on production. And I literally was in a different country with Australians who are lovely. But I've never been to Australia. I have now.
You never had been.
But at that time, I had no reference what they were talking about. So I was the odd man out, really.
Yeah.
And to be literally in, you know, this campground where you hear baboons and you hear all this stuff. And you're, and it's like Hunger Games. You're waiting for them to do something really shitty to you the next day.
Oh, yeah. And,
or if it's not you, it's your friend, which you don't feel even better about. You're just like, oh, my God, torture. But, you know, you grow in these weird environments.
Yeah.
And every night I would sit there and look at the moon and just think of the things that I wanted to do, where I wanted to take my music, and in a weird way grow within myself.
Sure.
I was so uncomfortable sometimes and so lonely at times. I spent 19 days there. But, you know, when you really are isolated, you're not eating. I mean, we have 800 calories a day. So you're detoxing. All these different things are happening. You're challenged physically. You are come back. You're like just frazzled to your core. But what that does is it makes you get real with yourself.
Yeah.
And I knew it would do that.
Yeah.
And I sat there and I just kind of planned the next year of my life and planned owning my music and planned things that I wanted for myself, come hell or high water, were going to happen.
Fuck yeah. I love this.
So that's this pretty great. Much, I got my warrior spirit in a weird way from a cheesy show.
Well, yeah. I mean, and you did the
but
celebrity.
It was really true and real. I thought, if I can do this,
well, that makes
sense. I can do anything on my own because I'm so out of my element. I mean, this is me, do or die.
Right. Well, you did the Celebrity Fit Club too.
I did,
and that's also
that
the
was
same
just
thing.
Because I was fat.
but I mean, that's the same thing. That's
that was
that's
a long
again,
time ago. That again, was just because I was fat. People, okay. I was like, yes, I need that. My agent called. He was like, so, honey, I'm going to pitch this to you very lightly. And I was like, uh huh. And he was like, so there's this show called Celebrity Fit Club, and I was like, uh huh. Do tell. He was like, well, I'm just saying. And I was like, you're saying I'm fat, Stephen. That's what you're saying. Yes, sign me up. It's fine. And I mean, we won. You know, we kicked ass.
Right,
I really
right.
got into shape and everything. I'm a tomboy through and through, so I love the challenge. You know, and I've never really shied away from my body. That it, you know.
Well, the Playboy thing.
It can be great. It can be not so great. It can be great. It can be not so. I'm a regular girl, so you know, I've done all the crazy diets in LA, all that stuff, and it's probably wrecked my body. To be honest with you, you can short. Your immune system, your metabolism with all these different crazy diets and being a product
of whack,
of LA in my early 20s when I didn't need to diet, but I still did. I did all the crazy little everything and I've noticed a big difference in my body to be resilient or resistant to all the craziness. So it's just about living my life now and being active, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you seem like you've been, you know, a healthy person.
There's, most important, you know, your health. I mean, that's seriously, I can't like say that enough. There's so many of my friends that are beautiful people and they're really struggling with a lot of different health issues for one way or another. So, you know, I'm very grateful that I didn't like, you know, short circuit anything permanently. But, you know, you can't play with that kind of stuff, really. You know, you just got to do proper nutrition, being happy, moving your body every day. Oh, like old school stuff, you know?
I love it.
And that's really what's keeping me going now. And, you know, I mean, I can maintain my weight now just from doing that. But you got to move your body. And, you know, you can't have too much luxury. I'm not a sweet person. I don't like a lot of cakes or sweets or anything. My thing is mashed potatoes and gravy. You will find me with some mashed potatoes and gravy. I will slap that out of your hand in a heartbeat.
You know, it's funny. So I've been making mashed potatoes, my mom's recipe, my whole life. And the other day, I was trying to make some mashed potatoes so my girlfriend works nights. So I make her lunches for her before she goes to work, you know. And I was trying to make mashed potatoes. But as you know, they take a while because you got to boil the potatoes.
Yeah.
So I mistimed it a little bit.
Uh-oh.
And I ended up having to leave the house, but the potatoes weren't boiled. So I just left them in the hot water.
Yes, that'll work.
And I think it worked better.
It works.
And I'm wondering if this is a little secret I picked up because it's the best mashed potatoes I ever made.
It could be.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're a bit of a cook.
Yeah.
You were on a cooking show too. That's
Rachel
another thing
Ray
you did.
Versus
Did you win that one too?
I came close.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's what I do. Some of my recipes have been published and cookbooks.
Right.
Excited to have my own cookbook at the end of the year. Just
really?
Fans
cool.
Right now. Just a small little run.
Is it
test it out for the holidays. It's not a holiday-based cookbook by any means. It'll be something that you can actually
comfort
give,
foods?
You know, comfort foods, quick stuff.
Good.
Calorie conscious and affordable, you know?
Yep.
It's not like going to be some cheese that you have to Google and go out and, you know. I love all of that as well, but that's not how I cook. I cook out of the fridge. I'm sure a lot of people out there will understand. Oh, I've got this, and this. What can I? So it's like chopped from your fridge, which I love because that's what I do. I cook for the band all the time when we're on the road. I'm a big advocate of fresh food.
Yes.
I don't like to do a lot of processed. I don't like to do a lot of fast food. My body can't handle it. When you see me gain weight, that's what's happening is because I'm not eating fresh food. So I have to make the time to cook for myself and just have, easy foods. So, but you know, sometimes we land late at night.
Yeah, it can be hard.
I might be pulling from a mini mart to make dinner that night.
I know.
But I mean, I think the band will tell you I pull it off pretty good.
That's wonderful.
And I love cooking for the band. So, you know, there's a lot of other things in the works to say about that kind of stuff. A lot of cookbooks and stuff like that coming. So stay with that. Music and food go together.
I love it.
So
I love
well.
It. I love it. So your tour manager just texted me to, I think, give it a little bit of a wrap up.
Carolyn, she's on it.
She's really sweet.
She's standing outside the bus, I'm sure.
But before I let you go, what else to tell the people?
Well, I mean, more than anything, I'd love them to come to a live show.
Yes.
To come and check out TiffanyTunes.com. That will take you everything Tiff World, mm-hmm. from my Twitter, my Facebook, new merch, new music. And
what's the, what is the, you have, it's not Relax Children.
Children Behave.
Children Behave. What is that?
We're starting our own nation of children behaviors.
Is this because you have some people in their mid-40s? 50s acting like children outside?
No, actually, it's because they don't want to behave. I think that we've gotten to a point where we're like, I'll tell you if I want to behave or not. So it's almost an anti-children behave from a lot of my cheeky friends.
I love it.
Of course, on the mixtape tour, I have a lot of women that come and they're teachers and they're moms or whatever.
Yep.
And they just love it because they're like, yes, that's the message. Children, sit down, behave, shut it, you know,
right.
Listen to what I want, you know, so they're buying the t-shirt. But really, for most of my friends, it is really about owning yourself as an adult and going, you know, children behave, but like with a little wink, wink, you know?
Yes, I love that so much. I love that so much. So I have, before I let you go, I have one fan question, and it's kind of a strange one. And so this is what it says. It says, so I don't know if she'll want to talk about it, but there was a documentary on Netflix called I Think We're Alone Now about two of her stalkers.
Right.
It was pretty fucked up. Very strange, and that must have been extremely uncomfortable. Did you watch it?
I've never seen it.
Good. I watched a little bit of it last night after reading this fan question.
I have to say that I always stand up for Jeff in the documentary because
you obviously
he's
knew
been
him,
a stalker, or I don't even want to call him that. He's been an overly zealous person who's been with me for since I was 15, and he's. He's got Asperger's, which is a disease, and so he gets really hyper, and he gets really stuck on things, and and he'll now share that with people. So when I actually heard about some of the documentary, which I was tricked into doing, my portion, because they said that they're from, you know, Santa Barbara or whatever, that Santa Cruz and university, and they're film students, and would I be interested in talking? Of course I will. Yeah, I'll help out anybody. And then it got into uncomfortable questions, and me being nice, I was like, okay, where are we going with this? You know, so they got all that footage without me knowing that's what they were going to do with it.
Okay.
Then they put out this, you know, movie.
Right.
And really for Jeff, I mean, I want to say that, you know, he's somebody that, I've had stalkers all my life. But I would say, you know, I actually got a little upset. I was like, well, you're taking advantage of somebody there that has a problem, and that's not really cool. So, you know, everybody goes, so this weird film, like, you're upset that they took advantage of your stalker? I'm like, yeah, kind of.
Right,
because he really isn't a harm. He's really not a threat. And, you know, he's been misunderstood a lot of years.
Yeah.
And now I see Jeff, you know, he'll come out on the road and stuff. And I'm like, hey, Jeff, can you man this here? Can you hold my purse? And he's like, sure. I mean, I trust him. He'd be welcome on the bus. He's really not a threat. He's just, you know, he'll drive you nuts more than anything.
Yeah.
If you don't know every Tiff memorabilia more than anything, you're going to know it. You're going to know it and own it before he leaves the room.
Right.
So it's more than anything, they go, oh God, Jeff's coming. Because he'll be like, do you remember in 1986 when you did this? Da-da-da. Oh my gosh, I love when you sang this. And my friends who are my true friends, they're just like, they roll their eyes like, girl, I cannot hear about your singing.
We call them
and
punishers.
Your stuff anymore. Like, it's just oversaturation. But, you know, I mean, I saw that coming out, and I've really yet to watch it. I just can't really watch it.
No, I didn't know about it, and I just checked it out a little bit. I kind of skimmed through it a little bit. I didn't watch the whole thing. And it was on YouTube, so it wasn't like a complete, you know, rip or whatever. But if I were you, I wouldn't watch it. Like,
no.
It gave me anxiety.
Probably would give me anxiety. But, I mean, you have to, like, I mean, that's... I've been in the public eye since I was 14.
Yeah.
So I don't really know any different.
I guess.
You have to, like, you know, look out. You do have to pay attention and, you know, that kind of stuff. I've had bodyguards around me since then, and they taught me. I used to... bought Chuck Norris's house, so I started doing like martial arts and stuff like that with Chuck Norris a long time ago. And just to hear these guys talk about their fan base and about martial arts and about bodyguarding themselves and being in there, because you know they get a lot of people who want to challenge them physically just to prove themselves.
Oh, weird. Well,
and
yeah,
so,
I guess,
you know,
the Chuck Norris
I was hanging
thing.
In that gang very early on in 15, 16, and 17. So, I mean, I heard about how to protect yourself, all these kind of, but more than anything, look around you. That's advice for everybody nowadays. Look around you.
Yeah.
Be aware of what's going on around you. Be aware when you're driving home, if there's a car and stuff. I mean, I'm very much that person now. But that's just good advice, period, in the climate that we live in. Unfortunately, you know, you don't have to be a celebrity anymore to have people that just tend to, you know, hone on to you and take this amazement of you. You know, I mean, it's happening in everybody's world, in common world, teachers, mothers, you know, people that just go to the gym. So you just really have to protect yourself, unfortunately, now. Yeah. Not to be paranoid, because you'll see me later tonight. I'll be out there with the fans.
Yeah, I know.
I have
no reservation
with throwing myself out there.
Nope.
You know, it's part of what I do. I love it. I'm going to be in the moment. Generally, people are wonderful,
and I think your personality, honestly, I get
that love from them, and that's what makes me.
And honestly, now that I've talked to you for almost an hour and met you, I can totally understand why you've been so successful for so long. And I want to thank you so much for taking
the time
to speak with me. And
Well, thanks for coming on the bus and just hanging and just flying.
I braved downtown Toronto at 4:30 in the afternoon for this.
I know. We're sitting on the bus next to all this traffic going up and down the street. And it is great. When I got up this morning to go to my interviews this morning, I went, what are we on the highway? What's happening? What did we break down? What's going on?
God.
Because I saw nothing but traffic, and it's a weird place that they have us sitting outside of the venue.
Well, on Monday, just 2 days ago, 48 hours ago, they had 2 million people here for the parade.
Yes, they did.
And I was watching it on my TV, and it was giving me anxiety. Like, I was like, this is fucking crazy down here. So
I know.
You just missed it. If you were here on that day, I can't even imagine. You wouldn't have made it.
No, we wouldn't have made it. We came last night, so it wasn't so bad, and we, you know... I'm excited about, you know, being here because I love Canada. And I'm actually going to be back here for Pieces of Me. So check out TiffanyTunes.com, everybody.
They will.
I've got 40 dates, a lot in Canada.
Sweet.
I'll be back here for almost a week, spending time and saturating and doing some dates here and promotion and hanging out.
Bring the alcohol next time. It's okay. As an
American,
you can bring it across.
I won't get rid of it.
You can bring it for personal use.
Everybody
it's okay.
will be happy. My bus will be much more happier.
You're going to be fine.
A happy place to be.
Tiffany, thank you so much.
Oh, thanks, babe. Thank you.
Thank you. That was so wonderful. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
You're the best.
I loved it.
So there it is with Tiffany. What a just a fun time and great conversation. And it was really cool to just sit with her one-on-one on her bus, drinking wine, picking her brain. I mean, that's something that if you told me when I started this thing I'd get to do, I would have never believed you. So I want to thank Tiffany and everyone on her team for doing this. Next week, we'll be back again. It's a good episode. I don't like to tell you what it is. I feel like it's jinxing it or something, but it's a good one, believe me. So make sure you're subscribed, hit the button, and if you want to get in touch, again, my email address, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. So I will leave you with a tune, and she's got quite a few bangers, but I'm going to play the re-recorded version of the classic I Think We're Alone Now. So here it is, the 2019 version on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. See you next week.